The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you, Howard?
Were you listening to the Chief Rabbi's message?
I was. You know, like everybody, I was quite shocked to hear what was going on in Johannesburg with regards to the Stan and Pete chicken gate or chicken issue. You know, this has been such a part of our lives.
We call it the chicken cluck up.
It's a big cluck up, I tell you, but it's very concerning, and I can understand why many in the community are worried and concerned, and I really, really hope that it's a situation that is sorted out soon. You know, this is a brand, a service that has been with the community longer than I've even been alive.
Absolutely.
So I really, really hope that it's sorted out soon.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Israel passes a law allowing terrorist bodies to be withheld and residency to be revoked.
Yes, well, this happened in the Knesset yesterday. The Knesset passed two separate laws which enable police to withhold the bodies of Palestinian terrorists who have been killed while carrying out terror attacks and granting the state authority to revoke the permanent residency status of East Jerusalem Palestinians who engage in any kind of terror activity or any other kind of anti-Israel act. Both of these laws went from the Knesset directly to the High Court, and the High Court ruled in favor. The first law allows states to delay returning the allows the state or state of Israel delay in returning the bodies of killed Palestinian terrorists to their families for burial. This was passed with a 48-10 vote in the Knesset, and this kind of legislation was in response to a December ruling by the High Court of Justice where the bodies can no longer be used as bargaining chips. So the law actually specifies that district police can decide to delay returning a body for burial if there is concern that the funeral can provide a platform for praising terror or further incitement.
Very, very interesting, and I'm sure very, very controversial. How's the press dealt with it?
Pretty much standard. There have been no great debates around it. I think everybody, given that we've experienced several years of a wave of terror, I think that it's pretty much understood that funerals for terrorists do become a breeding ground for incitement and the possibility of encouraging further attacks.
Absolutely. A very, very interesting subject indeed. The French president has vowed to fight anti-Semitism. That sounds like good news.
Well, it is good news and long overdue because anti-Semitism is rising to astronomical levels, especially in France. And this comes off the back of one of the most influential and prestigious French publishing houses deciding whether or not it's going to republish a series of three. They call them lampoons. They're vehemently anti-Semitic works that have been written by French writer Louis-Ferdinand Céline. And this would be the first time since the Second World War. These writings are notoriously anti-Semitic. And I mean, I don't even understand with the levels of anti-Semitism being that there are today and anti-Semitism actually being against the law in France, how this is even up for debate. But apparently it is. And the publishing house is using or invoking free speech. And this naturally has angered the French community, who will be meeting with President Emmanuel Macron, who has said that he intends to do everything possible to stamp out anti-Semitism, especially in social media. I mean, social media has become the biggest battleground for dealing with anti-Semitism in the world today. You and I see it on a daily basis where we have to deal with these issues. And he will be meeting with the CRIF. The CRIF is the umbrella body that governs the French community. And we will see what kind of solution comes out of that.
Sure, absolutely fascinating. And are we still seeing the an exodus of French Jews in the same numbers that we have been over the last while?
Not so much in as high numbers. I think, like many countries around the world, the French are opening their Aliyah documents. Many French make what we call fiscal Aliyah, where they split their time between France and Israel. And the French, like many Olim, also have their challenges finding jobs, learning the language, acclimating to the culture. And for many of them, this is prohibitive. It is a scary idea. I know that there were expectations that we would see French coming in their droves. And while their Aliyah is high, it's not as high as it was expected to be. And one of the other issues on the other side is that they don't want to feel like they are being chased out of France. You know, as much as I am proud of my own Aliyah and advocate Aliyah, I understand that it's not a solution for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it's not without its challenges, certainly.
It's not without its challenges.
Mm-hmm. Bibi has threatened snap elections if a coalition fails to reach an agreement on draft.
Well, as we speak, Howard, there is yet another major demonstration in Jerusalem. In fact, if you're listening and you are in Jerusalem, make yourself comfortable. It's going to take a while to get out of the city. They have blocked all the major entrances and exits. I mean, on top of this, we have infrastructure upgrades. So to anybody who's going to be running the Jerusalem Marathon, just, you know, take a seat. Get comfortable. You're going to be in Jerusalem for a while now. But yes, Netanyahu has said that while he's not looking to go to elections, if the coalition parties cannot agree on legislation dealing with the draft and the exemptions that come with certain students, we're going to have to go to elections. And in a recent poll done just this week, 4 out of 5 Israelis support the ultra-Orthodox or the Haredim going to serve in the army. So the ultra-Orthodox parties within the coalition have threatened to topple the coalition if their constituents are forced to go to the army.
What would is likely to happen if Israel goes to the polls again? Because there does seem to be a tremendous amount of negative sentiment against Bibi Netanyahu. So how would this play out? Surely it's a dangerous game for him to play.
Well, I think he accepts that there is a big possibility that he won't be prime minister for that much longer. He was addressing the Economic Forum in Washington yesterday, and he actually said he was starting to talk about his legacy. And when one starts to talk about their legacy, one assumes that they're making plans.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. I was just about to say so long and thanks for all the fish.
Beat it to it.
But he said his legacy wants to be that of somebody who has been a warrior for the state of Israel and somebody who is rescuing or has rescued its economy and has put the Israeli economy firmly on the path to thriving, which he has done.
I was going to say, you know, there seems to be a sentiment that that people have, which is to say, enough, move on. It's time for somebody fresh and different. But there doesn't seem to be obviously there are those that don't like him, and there is animosity towards him. But it's not in the same way. There is recognition that he's actually done a pretty reasonable job in many areas of his presidency.
Well, this is it. I mean, but we do have the scandals with the investigations hanging over him and hanging over Sarah Netanyahu. And we have seen a lot of positioning for possible electioneering coming from people like Ya'alon, or we call him Boogie Ya'alon. I mean, I know you and I were wrapped over the knuckles the other day for
you. They're shouting at me the whole day today. I can't take it seriously.
Well, just as a point of interest for listeners. It's very much a cultural thing in Israel to call people by their nickname. It's a term of endearment. So it's so we have a possibility in Bogi Yaalon, somebody who could be the next prime minister. There are debates with within the Likud faction who could take over from Bibi. We know a major contender could be former Minister of Education Gideon Sa'ar, who's come back from retirement of out of politics to come back in. He's young. He's been tipped for a long time to be a possible successor. Will it be Yair Lapid? Could Yair Lapid be a serious contender? So it will be very, very interesting in the months to come as we watch the possible jockeying for position and whether or not we are going to elections. However, a telltale sign, Howard, I must say, is when Bibi dyes his hair.
Oh, has he done it?
He hasn't dyed his hair yet, but we are on hair watch.
All right, and as long as he doesn't go Donald Trump yellow, then I think there's still a bit of hope for us, right?
Well, I have worried about him this week because he used terminologies like believe me and tremendous.
And I'll tell you another thing, Rolene, and maybe it was, I hope it was just me, who, it wasn't just me who noticed. Was Sarah Netanyahu not trying to dress up as Melania Trump?
I did notice that. I thought
they were wearing the same outfit, basically.
In the same outfit, or almost the same outfit. So are they starting to morph into each other? You know, one can only wonder.
Yeah, who wore it better? I don't think it was Sarah. But that's just me after a whiskey. All right. Mattel has released role model Barbies for International Women's Day. But are there any Jewish ones?
I did not see any Jewish ones. I mean, there's fantastic role models. There's Amelia Earhart. There's Catherine.
You know, isn't it because Barbie's basically Jewish anyway?
How is Barbie Jewish?
I don't know. Well, in fact, she was invented by Barbara. I'm trying to think of the name. The inventors of Barbie were Jewish. We'll be looking this up at the moment. They definitely were. Look, I think she is. She's very West Coast remodeled. I think you will find a lot of. I mean, it's not natural Jewish looks. It isn't what we contain in our genes anywhere. But the Barbie look certainly. But I think if you live on the West Coast, it might be. I do know. In fact, Hilton's busy searching it as we speak. The etymology of Barbie is Jewish. But anyway, they didn't put out any of any Jewish women for International Women's Day.
Yes, I was quite perturbed by that. I mean, I was looking forward to a Hella House at Barbie.
a Glen Hazel Barbie. That would have been. Oh, how horrible.
And listen, Howard, I mean, I am Occupier Barbie, and I'm quite excited that I don't have a Barbie in my likeness.
It's true. You should have one, an Occupier Barbie. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. Exactly. But in all seriousness, you know, we have tremendous Jewish role models throughout our history, and we deserve to be right up there.
All right. Here is a little bit of information. Barbie's inventors were Jewish. She has a Malibu beach home, and she drives a Corvette, so she's definitely Jewish.
Is she California cliche, Barbie?
I think so. I think that's exactly what she is. No doubt about that. Rolene, you're off to Munich, is it?
I'm off to Berlin tomorrow, Berlin. Yes.
It's one of my favorite cities in the world. And you're presenting there, are you?
Yes, I will be lecturing to the German Wiener Federation on anti-Semitism. I mean, you've got to see the interesting that an Israeli of South African background comes to Berlin to tell them about anti-Semitism. But yes, that's what I will be doing.
Absolutely.
And giving workshops how to deal with rising anti-Semitism and BDS as well.
Racist BDS.
Yeah, well, in the city that actually has faced its dark past, could be a lesson for other countries.
Absolutely right. Rolene Marks, this is where we love and leave you. You have a fantastic weekend, and be very, very successful on your trip to Berlin, which I have no doubt that you will be.